Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. It is Tuesday. We begin a spanking new month here. It's March 1st, 2022, now in our 12th year on the radio, the Buckmaster Show, coming to you from the Green Things, Zilkalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk worldwide, live listening at my website, buckmastershow.com, where we have over 11 years now of programs archived just for you. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. With us on the live line, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing the city of Tucson's interest began with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm personally great, but I'm very sad about what's going on.
Yeah, you and me both. Yeah. I'll tell you, if you don't, it's hard for me to believe. You would think anybody with a heartbeat watching what we have seen with these brave men, women, and children in Ukraine would be moved. But some people in this country are, believe it or not, siding with Putin. It's hard for me to believe. It's just something, I just can't understand it.
You know, I was watching the game, if you could call it that, with Colorado, and I began to think, you know, several of our real stars are from Estonia, and their mind must not be on basketball. I mean,
yeah.
Their mind is on, I imagine, their homes and their parents and their loved ones. I mean, I visited Estonia a couple of years ago. I'd been in Russia, and I stopped in Estonia, Nancy and I did, and I was walking the streets of Tallinn just to get a feel for the city, and I ran into a local doctor and got in a conversation. He was going in this beautiful building, and I said, "Is that the medical center?" He said, "Well, now it is." He said, "But that was built by the KGB, and he said they did horrible things in there, horrible things." So these people who have, you know, been under authoritarian rule, fundamentally a dictator, and been abused, and they get democracy, it's apparent that they'll fight for it to the death. And that's a big lesson for some people in our country who have taken things for granted.
Yes, Terry, and you know, what we saw with the initial invasion, and this is a pretty much, this is not an all-volunteer army of Russians, unlike, you know, the United States is a volunteer military force. Russia, these are conscripts, these are draftees, and the first plan didn't go well. Now they are into a plan B, and this is what I think the world is just watching in horror. With the indiscriminate bombing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Putin's plan is what he did in Syria, I think, which was he encircles the city with troops and blocks off all the exits, and then he just pours the bombs in indiscriminately. The idea is not necessarily to hit military targets, but it's to frighten the public and kill everybody in sight until they say, "I give up." And I'm sure that's exactly what he intends to do. It's just amazing when you look back. Just a couple of years ago, or a year or more, to a president we had who kept, you know, really buddying up to this guy, promoting him, and who wrote a tweet not far long ago saying that, in the midst of all this, saying that Putin was brilliant. Well, and a lot of his acolytes, frankly, in the Republican Party followed along, and anything, you know, to attack Joe Biden, you know, they've made it into an attack on Biden. He's not strong enough. Oh, he's too strong. No, he's not strong enough. You know, whatever they could think of. And now we we're in a situation where they have to go back and erase a lot of their tweets. But it's a sad situation, I think, when we have leaders of our country, Republican leaders of our country, a great party led by people like General Eisenhower, great men, turn into this. It's a disgrace. I won't go on. But you're right, Bill. It's just horrible to watch. This guy reminds me of Hitler. You know, he's really, I think, a violent sociopath, don't you?
I do agree with you. I agree with everything you are saying. War is the story now of this generation, at least. I hope it doesn't expand in Europe, but who would have thought we would have this kind of war, this street fighting that's going on now, the siege of the two major cities, scenes really that are right out of the last time we saw something like this, the battle for Berlin in May, April and May of 1945. Who in the world? I never dreamed I would see anything like this in my lifetime, Terry Bracey.
Well, yeah, you know, and the way we were. I mean, Bill, I met my father when I was 3 years old, coming off the military transport, coming back from World War II. And he was immediately ushered off to a hospital where he was treated for incapacitating depression, which went on for years. And this is for the winners, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody wins a war. I mean, in my almost 80 years, there has been constant war, Bill, in our generation.
Yep.
From the Second World War to Korea.
Yes.
You know, to Vietnam, to Bosnia, to the Middle East, and on and on. Now we've got a Putin to deal with, and I don't think it's going to be all that easy.
No, I don't, and I just don't see how this could end well. What's going on, Terry? I want to talk a little bit about. You were saying a lot of the Republicans pointing that this was brought on because they say Joe Biden is weak. They say that Putin looked at what happened in Afghanistan, and they're trying to blame Biden for this. Some of your thoughts, and maybe what we might see tonight in the State of the Union address.
Well, I think in the State of the Union, I think it gives the president a chance to kind of tell the people the truth about what he's been doing and what's been going on. You know what the Russian strategy has been to put out this kind of Orwellian disinformation campaign, which they began several years ago to divide the American people. And with all these crazy conspiracies and Hillary did this and all that. And then what's amazing to me is that he picked up a bunch of stooges, basically, who saw this as a way believe this, you can attack Biden with that, you can attack Democrats or whatever. And maybe some Democrats did the same, but I don't know who. Anyway, it's terrible to think these guys have Yale and Harvard degrees, and they're out there pushing the QAnon conspiracy and stuff that you would hear about in a mental hospital. But I think that the problem is that so much damage has been done to the notion of what is true and what isn't, that Putin has had enormous success in this, more than he ever thought he could get in this country. And frankly, I'm shocked by it.
Yeah, and he had 2 years of conspiracy theory nuts out there talking throughout the pandemic, and many of those people have just picked up the mantle. They've segued from the pandemic now into supporting Putin and saying that he's the only one who's standing up against this quote new world order. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, of course, Putin wanted Trump to be reelected because Putin is very, very much afraid of Biden. Biden is extremely knowledgeable on foreign affairs. He's the perfect man for this moment, or the perfect person. Maybe there's some women, too, who could handle it very well. But He was the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate, and he was also appointed by President Obama to manage that situation that they had then in the Ukraine. And that's one reason that President Trump tried to cook up some kind of scandal involving him in the Ukraine, which went nowhere.
All right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Terry, we're out of time, but Shelley is waiting in the wing, Shelley Fishman. He's going to talk about these historic economic sanctions. And I want to hear, and I know you do as well, what Shelley's take is on them and what kind of effect he thinks it will have on Russia.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you if you could get Shelley to explain all of these things so that somebody as simple as I could understand them.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Okay, Terry Bracey. And by the way, at the halfway point of today's show, we are going to talk about something that everybody wants to get their mind off of this for a little while, the NC2A tournament. We'll be talking with Anthony Jimeno of All Sports Tucson. So I'm sure you'll want to stick around after Shelley to hear that. Thank you, Terry Bracey.
All right. Let's say a happier time next month.
All right. Hope so. Terry Bracey with us. Let's talk about something that is pretty darn happy. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. These are times, these troubled times, where we all want some comfort food, and I know I do. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, and that's got comfort food written all over it. They are open right now. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, and of course, they open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast, but they are serving lunch right now. A week or so ago, I had a fantastic kind of off the menu. I asked, could you do a tuna melt, Mona? Mona was at the grill and said, yeah, it's best tuna melt ever had in my life. So I guess that might be what you call the secret menu item up at Mona's. Ask for the Buckmaster tuna melt. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman is coming next, and oh boy, it's Tuesday, and not a great time for the markets, but we'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Shelly Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelly through buckmastershow.com or at shellyfishman.com.
And here he is without further ado. Shelly, how is your day going?
It's miserable, Bill.
Not really a good day.
We're giving up everything that we got back on Friday.
Yeah, so what's going on? Do you think the nuclear stuff that is scaring the market?
I think the nuclear stuff is scaring the market. I think the fact that the Russians are willing to commit the kinds of war crimes that we're seeing now in the largest cities, and as they're about to surround Kyiv, I think that the world, and certainly the world of investors, is understanding that this can't end well. I mean, there is no way that this is going to end in a way that, I shouldn't say that, there is no way this is going to end in the short term in a way that will not have very serious economic consequences for both Europe and the United States.
Think about it. How would it end well? I mean, if the major cities are taken, and right now there's a siege on the two top cities of Ukraine, so they take those cities, can you imagine the snipers and the resistance that's going to be happening just to then to try to hold those cities?
You're in guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
You're in urban warfare for as long as you try to hold on to that country. It ain't a small country.
It's
the second largest.
The size of Texas.
Population about 40 million. But it's got a huge land area and a lot of land-based border.
Mm-hmm.
The cost to the Russian economy of trying to control what needs to be controlled in Ukraine, with the rest of Europe essentially isolating Russia and then Ukraine, if Ukraine became a Russian puppet state, would be so huge that the economies of both of those countries would just, they would tank.
Imagine Switzerland. When Switzerland decides they're no longer neutral and chooses sides, you know you've got problems.
Well, Switzerland, Sweden.
Sweden
Monaco.
Sending arms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Monaco.
So, a lot of this stuff is intended to be aimed at the apparatchiks, the people who have been made rich by Putin and by Putin's policies. But there are so many more of these now, this is really bans of trade that the world is imposing on Russia. And we apparently have figured out how to make the reserves of cash that Putin has stashed away in anticipation of this, we have found a way to make that meaningless. So, when you have bank transactions essentially being stopped by SWIFT.
Yeah, when the SWIFT interbanking system.
Right.
Right.
So that you can't write a check. You can't make payroll. All of the things that you need to do to continue to run your businesses or to continue to run your economy are now frozen. Currency conversions into and out of dollars from the ruble are now both frozen and so devalued that if the Russian economy tries to convert rubles to dollars, the kinds of inflation we've seen here in the United States and the supply chain issues dwarfed by what they're going to see in Russia, what they are seeing in Russia.
And if they try to use plastic MasterCard or Visa, forget it. There's no way.
Yeah,
I mean, how would the average Russian live under these circumstances?
Well, the average, you'll go to a barter economy of some sort. There was a correspondent, either CNN or one of the correspondents in Moscow, pulled his car into a parking garage and tried to pay for that parking garage with his credit card, and it was rejected. They couldn't. Now, I can tell you that having been in Moscow and St. Petersburg, the Russian traffic regulations are either non-existent or completely ignored. It makes Italy look orderly in terms of traffic. There's not a lot of scooters, but there's a lot of big cars. And when it gets to the point that you can't pull into a gas station and buy gasoline for your car because there's no way to pay for it, you know, the Russian economy is now only 5 or 6 days into these really draconian restrictions. Once those restrictions really work their way through the system, you know, you talk about the economy collapsing. I'm not sure I know what that means, but it means that all of the financial transactions, or most of the financial transactions that we rely on a day-to-day basis, just to live, just to buy groceries, just to pay the rent, just to do the things we need to do in the modern industrial world, that grinds to a halt. Now you have 142 million people who are reverting to a barter economy in order to survive. The feedback, the blowback to the Russian government as a result of that, you know, will take some time to build up. But the Russians have never been shy about taking to the streets and overthrowing their government. I mean, you know, in 1905, in 1917, in 1988, 89, the Russians look to the rest of the world and they see internally a great country that somehow can't get its act together. And it's really... it's a shame, as we've noted before.
How about
this was not necessary.
How about the whole inflation issue here in this country that's been driving the narrative on the financial markets? It's now like a back burner.
Well, yeah, people aren't talking about
it
as much because they're talking about the war. But the inflation here in this country will be made somewhat worse by this crisis, because gas prices are, you know, petroleum is already over $100. We're going to see even larger increases in the price of natural gas and gasoline and diesel fuel. That's fine. You know, the president tonight will probably announce something that begins to mitigate or tries to mitigate that. He can't do that. The other problem we have, and people don't understand, Ukraine is certainly an industrialized country, but 40% of of Europe's agriculture comes out of Ukraine.
I know. We talked about it on the on the show yesterday with a UA agronomist who's one of our regular guests. It's not so much of that wheat production
goes to
North Africa. There are going to be food shortages because of what's going on in
the
Ukraine.
And the minute that happens, prices for those kind of commodities are going to increase. So we're going to see the price of bread go up. We're going to see the price of vegetables go up. We're going to see worldwide, as we try to take some of the surpluses we have in our farm system and get it to places that need it, because the Russians will have stopped those exports. And the EU won't want to allow those exports.
And we're out of time, Sheldon.
Then
there's the issue of morale among an all-conscript army.
But
how do you think that might be going right now with Russian troops over in the Ukraine?
What we're hearing is that the carnage on the side of what's happening to Russian troops in the crossfire is also huge.
It's huge. All right. Okay, Shelley, we will talk to you in a week.
We survive it?
The Lord willing. I'll see you next week, Shelley. Thank you very much.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Boy, this is a good week to get over to Green Things, do some spring planting. Temperatures could be around 85 degrees here in the next day or so. So maybe this would be the time to really say, you know, I think the coldest weather is behind us. And let's put something beautiful in the ground and get some spring color in the backyard. The 13-acre site of Green Things, they're open daily. They're in their 51st year. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is zocalovillage.com. All that great merchandise from handcrafted in many cases from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So check it out. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio in our live line presented by Rincon Village, Rincon Real Estate and Property Management. No, it's Zocalo Village and Rincon Management. Let's welcome now on the live line longtime Tucson sports journalist Anthony Jimeno, who a couple of years ago co-founded this local blog that's really taken off. It's called AllSportsTucson.com. Anthony is also senior editor of Lindy's Football Annuals. Anthony, how are you?
Doing good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm so looking forward to talking about something other than the pandemic and war in Europe. And I think there's going to be a lot of interest, not only in Tucson, but across the country, as really this is the first in 2 years. Here we had 2 years of the pandemic, now war in Europe, and people are going to be saying, wow, the NC2A tournaments are going to be getting underway with attend folks, you know, live people in the seats. And it was 2 years ago, almost to the week, that the whole tournament mm-hmm. was called off.
That's right. I mean, things started getting canceled 2 years ago during the conference tournament, and then nothing happened that year. And for Arizona men's basketball fans, not much happened last year either, because Arizona wasn't involved in it. So for the first time in a few years, and one of the few times ever, there's probably equal interest or at least strong interest on the men's side and the women's side for Arizona basketball fans. So it should be a very interesting few weeks.
And both the men's and the women's teams are expected to go deep into this tournament, correct?
Correct. Probably so, more so on the men's side this year. I think Arizona has a big game tonight at USC. If they win tonight, they not only clinch the Pac-12 regular season title, but they really put a pretty strong headlock on a number one seed for the NCAA tournament. As it is, I think they're in line for a one or a two, and perhaps there's not much difference between the two at the end of the day, because once you get in the tournament, strange things happen. It depends on matchups and all those kind of things. But Arizona sure looks like it's going to make a strong run to the Final Four. And they're really one of a handful of teams. And by handful, I think we're probably talking around eight or so, who really can win the national championship. You know, I think the women's team, they're in line to be good enough to host the first two rounds of NCAA tournament games. I think they've got to win at least one game in the Pac-12 tournament later this week. I'm not sure their ceiling is quite as high as the men's team, but you know what? Sometimes you just go on magical runs, which the women's team certainly did last year.
So they've sure got a lot of pieces. They play great defense, which keeps them in and makes them able to compete, I think, against anybody. So, again, I'm going to go back to, should be a really fun few weeks. And so you don't have to talk all the time about all this other stuff.
That's And this is the 25th anniversary of the men's basketball team winning the national championship. And you were just a beat reporter at the time at the Arizona Daily Star, I believe.
It wasn't the main beat writer for the basketball team at that time. That was Javier Morales, who with us at allsportstucson.com. All through those years, you know, I was helping the Stars' coverage of those games. And, you know, when you go back and talk about magical runs, you talk about that Arizona men's basketball team in 1997. So, and since then, you know, Arizona was back in the national title game in 2001. But it's hard to believe they haven't even been back to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Because they've certainly had good enough teams since then to do so, but they've fallen short repeatedly when they get to that regional final Elite Eight level. And Sean Miller did that a few times as well with teams that were really good enough to get to the Final Four and perhaps win it all. And, you know, I tend to look at teams as – I'd never say, yeah, that's the – maybe there's been a couple teams. I say, yeah, that's definitely a Final Four team, and if they don't make it, it's going to be really disappointing. I mean, I look at this team as, hey, they're good enough to get to the regional final. And then, yeah, it's like all the other teams, if they play really well that day, if they get hot, they advance. And if you don't play well that day, you don't advance. But when you look at this team, they have all the pieces. I mean, on paper, I think even off of paper, just in terms of what we see from afar in terms of chemistry and how they play and the joy with which they play, boy, they sure could put it all together and get to that final game.
Anthony Jimeno with us from All Sports Tucson. Let's segue over to football. And I know you're busy with Lindy's football annuals. The University of Arizona football team had a really fantastic recruiting year, which may surprise a lot of people based on how difficult football's been here over the past couple of years. Without giving any secrets away, how do you think they're going to be ranked in the in the fall? For and the rankings will be coming out with the football annuals be coming out in a couple of months.
That is correct. We've got our production weeks and the whole thing scheduled out. We haven't got too far in the weeds in terms of rankings and how they're going to finish in the league and all that kind of stuff, but not high. I mean, they're not, I don't think the expectations for this season are much beyond four victories. Which is okay. I think knowing from where this particular coaching staff and Jed Fish started. I think in terms of like on paper rankings and in terms of context about what Arizona was dealing with and some of the depths of which they had fallen, this recruiting class is the best in school history.
Mm.
Will it play out that way 3-4 years down the road? Nobody knows. But, they got, I think, the quarterback they need to compete next year, the transfer from Washington State, Jaden Delora, who was the Pac-12 offensive player of the year, offensive freshman of the year. Let me clarify that last year. So he comes in, you know, he can compete right away in this league because he's done it. And then they added a bunch of playmaking receivers, including freshman and a transfer from UTEP named Jacob Cowing. He's probably going to end up being like at Lindy. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being one of our like top 10 ranked receivers in the country because he's that
good.
Wow.
Hey, Anthony, we're going to have to run, but they do have a very brutal non-conference schedule, which that could kind of set back the football team a little bit. And they do start their drills, which will be open to the public, which I think is a wonderful idea. I think there's at least a dozen sessions for spring football. People can go out and take a look at the team, and then there'll be the spring game. Anthony Jimeno, All Sports Tucson, thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. The Buckmaster Show continues on here on the eve of another Lenten season. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. Father Robert Hendrickson will join us on the live line right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show to the strains of sailing away. And boy, it's a good day to do some daydreaming, going over, get in the car and dream about Silver City. Take a three-hour drive east of Tucson. It's a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The good starting place I always recommend, and we send so many of our listeners to this beautiful area of the Southwest, go to southwestnewmexico.org for information on things to do, and there's no shortage of things to do. Lots of outdoor activities, and there is plenty of great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Traditionally, Christians observe the 40 days of Lent, which begin with Ash Wednesday tomorrow. Like Easter, the exact timing of Ash Wednesday changes each year, but the traditions remain the same, though not every person observes Ash Wednesday in the same way. The most traditional form of the day involves a church service, a mark of the cross, and an entry into the season of Lent. Let's welcome now our contributor on faith and spirituality. He is the rector of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, of which I happen to be a member, Father Robert Hendrickson. Father Robert, how are you?
I am well. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. And with what's going on with war in Europe, this Ash Wednesday has kind of a special meaning, and maybe it's a good time to take a quiet moment and begin on some of those Easter prayers, Father Robert.
Well, exactly. And, one of the things I'm reminded of is part of, one of the confessions in our tradition includes the line, sins that we have done and sins done on our behalf. And, in this kind of period of watching war unfold, it sort of reminds you that we're all caught up, not just in sort of webs of kind of individual brokenness, but also in the kind of brokenness of humanity. And if anything, this season carries us into that kind of global, cosmic sort of sense of what it means to be human as well.
This whole idea of giving up something for Lent, I don't know where it comes from, but I'm just curious about your thoughts on that tradition.
Well, it's actually a fairly early tradition. So, we have records from the 300s of people noting periods of abstinence or fasting. So it's a fairly ancient tradition. My take on it is if it is a thing that will bring you closer to God in this time, then you should do it. But if you're doing it just so you can sort of show off to your friends, look, I cannot eat sugar or whatever it is for 40 days, that's probably not the most, the holiest reason to take on such a discipline. To me, it's about the deeper questions behind the thing you're giving up. So, for example, if what you're giving up is food related, perhaps the focus is not on the food, but on our ability to exert some sort of self-control or lack of gratitude for all that's in our life. So it's really about the underlying attitudes, and the thing itself that you give up is really a symbol of your intention to address that underlying attitude. So I know people who will give up, they'll say, well, I'm not going to swear during Lent. Well, it's not so much about dirty words. God doesn't get too mad about that, I don't think. But it might be about the underlying anger in your life. It might be about your inability to control your temper with those you love, right? So the question is actually about what are the underlying habits of our heart that are inhibiting our relationships with one another and with God? And that's actually, I think, where Lent can do its best work in our spiritual life, is allowing us to do a deeper focus on those sorts of patterns of behavior.
Spreading ashes on the head or forehead, became a tradition in the Christian church really over 2,000 years ago. Is this about kind of ashes to ashes or dust to dust? Is that what this is about?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So if you remember in Genesis, you get the line that Adam was formed from the dust or formed from the dirt. And it's a reminder that our mortal life is short, right? And so in some ways, what Lent reminds us is that we have this brief period of our mortal life in which we have sort of little time to sort of gladden the hearts and grow deeper as human beings with one another. But it's also a reminder that on the other side of that is Easter. And so that it's this twofold thing where it's both reminding us of the limited nature of our mortal life and the unlimited nature of life in God. So there's sort of two things happening at the same time. For me, it came kind of most poignantly when I was working at Trinity Wall Street in New York, and which is right next to where the World Trade Center was.
Mm-hmm.
And imposing ashes there, sort of saying over and over again, remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return, looking out these huge doors they have, remembering the kind of clouds of ashes and dust that came down that street from the World Trade Center, where all those lives were lost, and where that evil of human cruelty sort of took so many lives. And it all came together in that moment. And I think for me, that's the moment that always symbolizes Ash Wednesday and its meaning for me the most, is this intersection of remembering the shortness of our lives, trying to address the frailty and kind of brokenness and frankly, evil that can raise its head in the human experience, and trying to figure out how do we as sort of individuals, situate ourselves within that? How do we find meaning and purpose and resolve to act differently going forward.
As I read in your blog, and I strongly suggest people check out your blog, stphillipstucson.org. You wrote this on Sunday, as I watched the news of the war, as we emerge from this pandemic, as we see the failures of our political system, it would be easy to lose hope. You say if our hope were only for this, the world, we would be in a very pitiful place, really, in the world. But you're talking about a hope of the next life.
Absolutely. And that's the, for Christians, that confidence in the promise of the next life can give us the courage in this one to make the kind of change that we would long to see. What I find is that people who have the least anxiety about the world to come are often the most joyful in this life. And so trying to find some way, how do we make sense of our sort of eternal home, gives us a better ability to kind of root ourselves in this home. I think for a lot of people, we sort of get on autopilot. And we sort of go from day to day, just trying to get stuff done. And we sort of forget what happens from one day to the next. And I think part of what Lent does is it resets that autopilot in our lives and sort of calls us to a deeper engagement with what it means to be a believer for those who are, what it means to be human, and what it means to cherish the time we have and the people around us, and to commit to take those things as seriously as God takes our own soul. And how do we take ourselves and our life as seriously as God takes it and hold it with the same kind of care?
Father Robert Hendrickson with us on our live line. Father Robert, it's just such a helpless feeling watching the war news out of the Ukraine. And we think, well, gee, I feel helpless. Is there anything that I can do? And then I was reflecting on this, and maybe the thing we can do here is an act of kindness, something that we, Father Robert, have in our control in Tucson, Pima County, Arizona.
Absolutely. I think finding a way to reach out to someone, as near as your neighbor, to sort of make some small difference, to create some small good in their life. It's a sort of local way, not only, I think, to sort of, make that kind of difference that you can see, a tangible difference you can see, but also to sort of draw our hearts and minds away from that feeling of helplessness into an attitude and posture of possibility, sort of reminding ourselves that we are agents of creation in the world around us. And yes, on one side of the world, there are forces of destruction at work, and the countervailing force here can be to have, a wellspring of creative possibility and positivity. The challenge is that feeling of helplessness has been there since the dawn of time. The first sin named in the Bible is Cain killing Abel. You know what I mean? It's Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been with us since the dawn of humanity. And the promise and hope that is given to us by God has also been there since the dawn of humanity. Whenever I talk about Psalm 23, sort of, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The important word in that passage is through. God walks with us through the valley.
Yes.
He doesn't say we'll be stuck there. He doesn't say we're trapped there in darkness. He commits to walk with us through the valley into the light on the other side. And that, I think, is the reminder we all need periodically, that this too shall pass and joy cometh in the morning.
All right. We'll leave it on that very optimistic and joyful note. Father Robert Hendrickson, St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, which is back now. Folks are back in church face to face, right, Father Robert?
We are. And tomorrow we've got services at 12 and at 6. And we're back face to face and in person and all of that.
Thank you very much. All the best to you.
Thank you. You too, Bill. Thanks.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. A good hour today, a lot of good content and good thoughts, and I hope you enjoyed it. I did. I know John enjoyed it on the other side of the glass, and we'll let it go right there. Have a great afternoon.